You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am thrilled to have Bill Morrison on the show, author of this book you see here. And if you are listening, it is called Lions in the Grass, one of the coolest covers of a book, A Marketing Insider's Guide to Mass Persuasion and Why You Want the SHIT You Want, keeping the sensory allowance on Apple right now.
Yeah.
Bill, tell us about the inspiration behind this book.
Oh boy, a long time in the making.
Yes.
You know, I've been in marketing for 30 years.
Yeah,
now, so
30 years.
30
okay.
years, and,
yes.
and I started when I was in the womb, mm-hmm. you know, quite young. I've always been in marketing of some sort,
yes.
but the last 25 of those years have been focused completely on condominium marketing.
Yes.
As you and I have talked about in the past and our other dealings, yeah. that it's always about presenting new home real estate and large developments.
And is it before it's even created, right? You're selling mm-hmm. a concept.
Yeah, it's a box of air, really.
Yeah.
And why is it good? And yeah. why will it change people's lives? And
yeah.
what do you need to do to present it in a way, especially in Vancouver? And this
yeah.
is one of the most competitive markets
yep.
in the world. There's, you know, within a square block, you'll have 5, 6, 7 towers. Why
wow.
is yours better?
Wow.
So you need to be able to do the product correctly, but you also need to be able to present
yeah.
in a way that your purchasers, your
yeah.
audience wants to hear.
Because is there any other product on the market or service that is you're mm-hmm. literally buying air? Can you think of
oh
any?
Oh boy, I really...
Like ahead. A charity? I mean, like a charity
possibly.
Would say when you donate money, you're getting air,
mm-hmm.
you're getting
mm-hmm.
a feeling. But you eventually, in what you sell, you at least get something eventually, physically.
Yeah, you do. I just watched, you had Seth Godin on
yes. yeah.
a podcast. What
yeah.
an amazing podcast, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
He's great.
Yeah, and he was talking about charity and
yeah.
then the value of the charity surpassing the value of what the money means to you.
Yeah.
And so, again, yes, air, certainly, but what we do as marketers is we make what we have or present
yeah.
what we have in a way
yeah.
that shows your audience
yeah.
why this is more emotionally connected
yeah.
and more emotionally important to them
yeah.
than, say, your competitors.
Yeah, mm. which is amazing. And that's why when you go into a sales center, they have incredible print products.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hemlock actually mm-hmm. just sent us a sample package
oh,
yesterday.
Nice. Yeah,
and
yeah.
and the most of the portfolio pieces were from project marketing or condominium marketing
yeah,
or pre-sale
yeah,
marketing
yeah.
because it's selling air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you have to be good. I mean,
yeah.
that's a slight difference because it's a tactile component, right?
Yeah.
It has to run from your fingers right to your mind, and your subconscious has to say, this has a value,
yeah.
this has a weight, this has a structure to it.
Yeah.
Really, quick story is, I remember Canadian Tire used
yeah.
to send out the flyers,
yes.
they still do.
Yeah.
And so you get the flyers and you flip them open and they, you know, you can get this product or that product, a generator
yeah.
or a socket wrench. And then they decided that they were going to produce this really nice, very brochure-like
yeah.
catalog.
Yeah.
And that came instead of the flyers.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it thinking, wow.
Yeah.
So I brought it into my team, my yeah. whole office,
yeah.
brought it in and said, look at this, what do you think?
Yeah.
And just waited. Every person said, wow, they've really improved their product. It was just the brochure.
Yeah.
So the content, the tactile
yeah.
content had so much weight. And I love Hemlock. Hemlock is actually who printed the first run of the book for me.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're great. They're fantastic to deal with.
Speaking of your book, so on a practical sense, those that are listening right now and want to publish a book,
yes.
what was the process you went through as far as like you wrote it,
mm-hmm.
I imagine,
mm-hmm.
and then what did it go from writing it to designing it to getting it physically in people's hands? What was
yeah.
the beginning of that path?
Well, you brushed right over top the pain and the suffering and the tears
yeah.
and the standing,
years
the standing
of, yeah.
looking at the typewriter or the
yeah.
computer and just going, nothing is working. But the process was, near the end of it, I found the TSPA, which is the self-publishing agency.
Yep.
Megan Williams is the owner and founder of that. And,
yep.
and Megan is fantastic, very encouraging.
Okay.
And I had two choices, to go to the traditional route
yeah.
or to go to the self-publishing route.
Yes.
And some people believe 100% in one way and other people believe 100% in the other way.
Yeah.
What was really important to me is to have full creative control.
Yeah.
And to present it in a way that I was able to dictate the outcome.
Yeah.
And that's really important. So,
and the timing. Like when you go to a publisher route, It's 2 years out before the book sees the light of day.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you're on the treadmill.
Yeah.
And if you are successful in the first month, you're awesome. Mm. If you're not successful in the first month, thunk, next shiny thing comes along.
Yeah.
So dealing with Megan was really inspiring because she set me up with Lori Bamber. Now, Lori has written her own books on finance. She was an editor for the finance section of Chatelaine Magazine.
Wow.
And this was a gift for me because I'd never written before.
Yeah.
And as you probably read in the book, I left grade 12 illiterate.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, sometimes we challenge ourselves with the hardest things, and the hardest thing for me was to write.
Wow.
And so I wrote this chunky draft format and improved, and then brought it to Lori.
Yes.
And Lori didn't add, but she didn't just say, don't do this, don't do this, add more of that. She taught me how to write the words that people read. And it's really important, really important. And how to write in proper tenses and, and how to write with power words rather than submissive words. And, and so she was fantastic.
Wow.
So through—
And she'd be your editor, right, from TSP?
Absolutely, And so it's a nice process when you have that support. And, and then there's also, you walk in and a group that you're with is already built.
Wow.
And they're very supportive and very inspiring. And so wrote the book. Had the editor, and then walked it through with TSPA, and they helped me put it on Amazon. They had someone just taking care of that.
And they designed it as well, I assume.
Then I had to hire a designer.
Okay.
So the exterior, and also the book layout. How the pages sit.
Where to put your last name, the page number, the pull quotes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay. And what's bold, what's not, what's all uppercase, what's not, and how does it sit on the page? There's actually a lot that goes into it, which I had no idea, which was part of the learning curve.
And then does TSPA give you a list of here's designers you can choose from, or were you able to bring your own to the table?
So I had lots of designers that I've worked with in the past.
Of course, I was going to say,
Yeah, but you know, there's just a very specific component when you're designing the exterior of a book.
Yeah.
It has to do so much. The spine has to do so much.
Yeah.
And so I had this concept in mind that I wanted, and I wanted a black and white, and I wanted the marionette focus, and I wanted lions, but I was thinking a little bit maybe too literal.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, you need a designer, and you know this very well, to take a concept, you know, like the stick man drawing, and then make it look amazing, which is what Fleck Creative did for me out of Vancouver. And Jasmine Welch is awesome. I thanked her in the book.
And they did the front and the inside as well? And they knew how to do the inside in that format.
Absolutely.
That when uploaded to Amazon, thanks to TSPA, allowed it to print on demand. Is that correct?
Perfect.
So you didn't, you're not, because I know of people who have published a book, self-published, and they would sit on boxes and boxes of books in their house because they needed to print a minimum run of 2,000 to make it profitable.
To make it profitable.
But you didn't have to.
So I printed a couple of boxes right off the start.
Thanks to Hemlock, right?
Yes, thanks to Hemlock and also another printer out in Anniston's Island.
Yeah.
And together got these boxes of books.
Yeah.
And then I can send them off, you know, ahead of time, or to clients, or to friends and family. But if you're living in Boston, or you're living in Seattle, or you're living in Vancouver, and you want, and you're part of Prime and Amazon, you just go on, you order the book, print, in, or hit buy now, and that book is shipped file-wise from Amazon to that printer in Boston, printer in Seattle, printer in Vancouver. Yeah, it's amazing. It happens within seconds. And then that's why we can get a book in 2 to 3 days. These books do not exist, but now with printing the way it is, we don't have these big, large offset printers, right? Where you need gigantic, amazing
print on demand, and they pick it what's closest to the address.
Mm-hmm.
And then, did you offer a Kindle version as well?
Yeah, and that was an ebook, which was basically the same thing, and it's just right off Amazon, right onto your mobile. Or
I love my Kindle personally. Yeah.
So good.
And price wise, like, what would this sell for on, say, Amazon if someone went today? Right now,
thousands and thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
$23.
And then 23. And then, can you share what the cut is that Amazon, the gouge they take?
It's not too bad. It's 30%, I believe.
Like the Amazon, or sorry, the Apple Store.
Yeah,
Apple,
same kind of
30%.
Concept. Yeah, 30%.
Okay. But they take care of shipping, printing,
delivery.
Yeah, so it's 30% after costs, right? So, I guess that there's probably $8-$9 that rolls in after the book is sold. So, but if I went through a Penguin or a Random House or something like that, as a new author, it's 7-12%.
Wow. And then does that money go to the TSPA and then it cuts out to you?
No, straight to me.
Wow.
Now, TSPA is really just a vehicle that helps you get there. They don't actually do anything for you. They just said, here's your best step. Here's the people we suggest. Here's some recommended people that are great. Here's what they've done in the past. Wow. And off it goes.
That is incredible.
It was a nice way to finish the pain and suffering of actually writing.
They're like the guide for you. They come alongside and here's the, because anyone could design something and try to stuff it into Amazon, but if it doesn't print right, like this printed so beautifully, right? So.
And that's the thing is that I think that's why self-publishing may have a knock or two, is that because you could literally write anything and put it on, you could write on a napkin and have it sent up, loaded to Amazon. Mm-hmm. And if someone would buy it, well, they have your napkin and your story.
Yeah.
But I wanted to compete.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the reasons why when I watched your podcast earlier with Seth Godin and the one with Malcolm Gladwell, this entered into the same category as them.
Yeah.
There was an actual point in time where my book was in between their two books.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking on my shelf and there's their books.
Yeah.
And there it is beside it. That was a home run. To see that little thumbnail right in there, that was awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah, that was cool. And those that are in condominium marketing or want to get into it, give it maybe the encouragement of going into that world or the frustrating side of it. Because it's a whole world of marketing, right? Yeah. It's not real estate marketing, which is very different.
Yeah,
you're not doing resales.
Different. Right, it's very different. I think the biggest thing is, and I touch on this in the book, is that it's really important to realize that just because you're a consumer doesn't mean you are necessarily a marketer.
Yeah.
So you have to try and separate the two because we buy different than we sell.
Yeah.
At least we should buy different than we sell. Yeah. I talk about that in the book. And I talk about the fact that when we actually purchase, we're purchasing on an emotional basis.
Yeah.
But we're covering it up afterwards with logic and rationale. I really want to have this SUV or I'll give, here's a perfect personal example.
Yeah.
So I drove a Toyota Tacoma.
Yeah.
And great truck, great little truck, loved it, awesome truck, did everything we needed, nice lease from Toyota, fantastic, and simple, easy, and finally have a truck.
Yeah.
You know, I've had SUVs the whole time, but I'm throwing my kid's bike in the back and getting grease on the leather.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, okay, enough.
Yeah.
So we get a truck. Perfect. But now my youngest son, who eats only two steaks today, Dad? Only two steaks. That's so tough. Anyways, he's now over 6 feet.
Yes.
And all leg.
Yeah.
So in the back of the Tacoma, he didn't fit. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I need to go and upgrade. So the lease is up. Time to get a new one.
Yeah.
So I go on and look, and there's the Tundra.
Yeah.
The Toyota Tundra. Yeah. It's this big beast monster. And I'm thinking, well, I can move the seats up.
Yeah.
I can have lots of room for the family.
Yeah.
This has like all the undercarriage protection and 4x4 and big V8 that I really want. And this is going to help if I tow things. So, but the truth is, all that's bullshit. It's all absolute crap.
Yeah.
The emotional component is, you know, it's going to make me sound like a weenie, but the truth is I was tired of driving a little baby truck.
Yeah.
I wanted a big truck.
Yeah, yeah.
So my emotional needs were, I need a big truck so that I can feel big in my big truck.
Yeah.
The rationale is, well, I need this for my son because he's got really long legs, and I need this. So I cover up all of my emotional components, everything that makes a decision, I cover it up with my actual rationalities.
Yeah.
Which isn't a danger until we go to resell it. Because the person that is buying it, if they haven't already decided to buy the Toyota, Tacoma, Tundra, if they're just out looking and I need to get that audience in, if I start talking about crash test reading or undercarriage protection or room in the back seat, wonderful, except that that's not triggering anything for them.
Huh.
Do you want to be in a baby truck? Drive a baby truck.
Yeah.
Or drive this real man's truck.
Yeah, okay.
So, no, that makes me into a real small person, but I'm just trying to be very open and very honest about this and really authentic. This is what happens. We make these emotional decisions. That's why we're a consumer. We consume on emotion. But when we go to sell, we must be emotional.
Yeah.
And add in some detail, but stick with the emotions first.
So when you sell a home that someone can have one day, it's going to be available a year and a half from now. They come into the sales center. The photos, the images, the writing, you're saying, okay, what is the emotional triggers that they do? Not, did we tell them that there is a master bedroom on the main floor?
Yeah. Our cabinets are real wood.
Yeah.
That just is not going to resonate.
Yeah.
It's part of the process, and people take that in and believe that it's good. But realistically, it's how am I going to feel in this home? How does this feel? Where is this going to put me in the hierarchy of needs? Yeah. You know, where am I going to sit on Laszlo's list here? Yeah. You know, really and truly, what does this do for me personally?
Yeah.
And so whether you're selling a podcast or you're selling a condominium or selling anything.
Tuition to a school.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. What does it mean on the outcome? What does it mean to you to have a Harvard degree versus a online at, you know, Phoenix University, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay.
Both great options. One is much more expensive.
Yeah.
How do they get the extra value, the emotional connection too?
Yeah. And so would you say 100% of our decisions of whatever we buy is that?
I would say that there's a very, very strong core, at least in our larger decisions.
Okay.
Our smaller
like home, car, education, those three for sure, right?
Absolutely.
100% on those three areas.
Absolutely.
But maybe like a sandwich or a, I don't know, pair of socks, maybe not.
Yeah. Depends on the socks.
So. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
No, I'm just.
I'm a big sock. Yeah. It was funny. Yeah. Stance socks. Mm-hmm. I am obsessed with them. I love them. Everything about them. The look. The feel. They're thick. They make my feet feel good.
There we go.
But I'm wondering the emotional decision to go that route. Mostly because I'm like those thin business socks just don't do it for my feet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's a tactile component that relates back into the that there's so much of our subconscious that. That controls our decision making. And this is why in the book I talk about the vulnerability that we all have and why the lines in the grass, those manipulators, the manipulators of emotion, why they have the ability to get in so easily and access so quickly and to change our behaviors. Our cell phones seem to bother us and not work very well suddenly when the newest version comes out. We wear certain outfits for a period of time that are our favorite outfits and are now neatly in the closet, never to be worn again. Can't get rid of them because there's still an emotional connection to it. But it doesn't work anymore because the lines in the grass have manipulated this and changed it. Otherwise, you know, your shirt's going to last you 10 years. But you're probably not going to wear it for 10 years. So
that's fascinating. Bill, what I want to do with you one day, and this would be an interesting episode, is to have Travis follow us and to walk through Guilford Town Center.
No, interesting.
And with a mic, like with a hot mic, we just walk down maybe the main corridors and looking at stores and say, what did they do physically? Because I think part of condo sales is signage. So much of it is signage in the sales center. So when we walk by like a Ritzy or the Disney store or the Apple store, like what have they done to us, because you must see, you must have that filter on.
Absolutely.
Like as I read this book, I feel like it was good to read it as a consumer for empowerment. So it's great for consumer, but also as a marketer, it was almost this like, wow, here's another level of thought, right? Of when you or another level of filter that when we go to put together a campaign or a concept or an idea, we need to almost. This book gave cause for pause to say. But what is it making people feel when we put this out?
I was in Montreal. This isn't in the book. I was in Montreal to launch. There's a double tower there. So I was brought in as a consultant, positioning consultant, to help them launch their double tower. Big, massive tower right downtown. And because there was such a threat of separation from the rest of Canada for such a long period of time, and as you know, if you buy your land today, you're not really going to be putting people into it for 5 or 6 years. By the time you go through rezoning, so that tower product is such a long-term planning process. Okay, so
even more than townhomes, right?
Oh,
townhomes can be done. Okay,
and so you know, it's 3 years to 4 years to build a tower, basically from the start to finish. But then, if there's a year of rezoning process, you need extra height, you need extra square footage. So, I'm in Montreal, and we go out for lunch with the developers, and we're walking through the middle of, you know, right by where the Canadians play.
Yeah.
And so we're walking down the street and we walk by this competitive development. And this is a full city block.
Yeah.
And they've got this massive hoarding all the way around, which we know, right? Yeah. And the hoarding was plywood. And I turned to the developer and I said, wow, your signage restrictions here must be massive. Because all they had was on the corner, they had an 8x4 poster of what the sign looked like and a phone number. And I said, these things must be like, your restrictions must be off the chart.
Yeah.
He said, well, there's no restrictions. I says, pardon? Really? Really, there's no? So yes, back into what we can do with signage, back into what kind of a feeling we want to create.
Yeah.
Because we can't change the way people think.
Yeah.
But we can change the way they feel. And that's really, really important.
Yeah.
And that's with the emotional components.
Yeah.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And you're creating, and I find like with the miniature worlds, right? There's miniature world in Victoria, but one of my favorite things I love about going to sales centers is you recreate miniature worlds, or what do you call them professionally?
Well, the sales zones, sales centers, and then, you know, we have
the models.
Scale models.
Yeah, scale models, right? With little cars and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So the hope with that is, again, you're creating visions and creating future hopes for people.
Yeah,
is that the and then you see people smiling with their families on the wall and
making pasta super happy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever made pasta and smiled at my wife like that.
But you create that.
Yeah.
Emotion.
I mean, it's part of what the process is. But I think there's even more to it.
Yeah.
You go into a men's clothing store,
yes,
as an example, and you walk up and there's the first table.
Yeah.
And the first table doesn't have hard, crisp shirts on it. It has soft, squishy things that we always go in and put our hands on, and just because
we
shop with our hands.
Yeah.
And we're not necessarily going to buy these velour shirts or these big thick sweaters. We're going to put our hands on. This tells our mind that this is a soft, comfortable environment.
Wow. Okay.
So this is the way it goes.
Yeah.
I was in Hawaii a little while ago, and this is way back before the pandemic and travel. And we're in a little place called Paia. And they had all these really cool surf shops. Yeah. So we're walking as a family, doing what you do on vacation, and really cool shop after shop after shop, just in and out, in and out, in and out, buy a couple of trinkets. And then there was one that was a house that had been converted and left alone, I suppose. Yeah. And it was on the street, but it was back a little ways. You had to go up the stairs, and there was a front porch, and there wasn't really a window. It was a door. And we all stood there, and we all went, and we just kept walking. We went into the next door with the big glass windows. Yeah. And I suppose it breaks down into what we were like back in our cave folk days, where you've got two caves.
Yeah.
One of them is completely covered, and you don't know who or what is waiting for you.
Yeah.
The other one's fairly open,
and
you can see. One feels safe, one you feel threatened.
Yeah.
And so because we're either in reward or threat all the time, we just didn't go into that little store, which is so silly, but we just didn't, because the other ones were open, and we just naturally, as a family, went, didn't even think about it. Yeah. We just went in the other ones.
So speaking of, you know, you talk about you were the positioning consultant, right? Yeah. And your role now with projects, how do you ensure that you come up with this concept, this great emotion you want people to feel, and it's awesome, and you write it down, and it's in the brief. How do you ensure that brief, that information gets to, say, like the designer, and then it goes from the designer to the web person, then the web person to the advertisers, and the advertisers to, you know, every little micro ad?
It does get a little watered down unless you're on it, unless you stay on it. And that's really important when you build your draft, as you were mentioning. It's really important that you're presenting it for the way that it's going to deliver the emotion that you want.
Yeah.
And it's not just the emotion that the project brings, it's the emotion that you want your audience to have. And you want to connect that emotion. First of all, it has to be relevant to them. You know, it's like, this is a wonderful place to raise your family. But I'm a bachelor. So, okay, that's not relevant, right? This is an amazing investment for you in your future, and. So once you figure out your emotions that you're trying to present and relate, then you need to bring it back into the product. Mm. And does the product fit? Does the pricing fit? And then that goes over to good designers. And then this is what our positioning and emotional positioning for the entire project is. Here's what we really need all the pieces to produce.
Wow.
And then from there, I leave it up to the professionals to color blend and to match and to understand that the right imagery fits in and how it fits on the page. That is above my pay grade, and I need professionals to help that. I just know that there's an emotion that needs to be presented, and that's really, really important.
So in the, I've yet to really find, I haven't seen it as clearly, maybe I haven't noticed as well, but the in briefs where it says emotion to create, right? Like that's not often in a brief, but maybe it's after people reading this, and after reading this, adding that into every brief to say like, I want this ad. And now, especially with project marketing or condo marketing, you know, you say you want to, you know, for young families, I want to elicit this emotion because your ads, thanks to Facebook, can target certain age groups, certain genders.
Can be relevant. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so like emotion for women, this. Emotion for men, this. Like that's a pretty cool time we live in now, too.
Boy, is it ever. And really having to stay up on that and really believe in that.
Yeah.
You can't just go and buy network advertising, as Godin was saying, you know, again. It's so important to understand where you're going with where you're going with the emotions you want to create.
Yeah.
And that's super, super important.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to also mention this, is that value is connected to emotion, not connected to a product.
Hmm.
So it's what emotion does this present me with? Yeah. That's how I'm going to value this product.
Yeah.
The housing market is a perfect example.
Yeah.
So if you reside, you and your wife, say, are walking along and you see the perfect house and you think, that's really nice. You go online, you look at the pictures, it looks really good. And you think, let's go in there tomorrow. It's an open house. Great. So you're like, I hope this is nice on the inside as it looks on the pictures. And as you're walking up, your anxiety is about a five.
Yeah.
Let's just say you walk up and you open the door. And let's just say there's no one in there.
Yeah.
And the realtor is at the kitchen table and she says, oh, hi, folks, come on in. Here's the feature sheet. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. And she goes back to reading her newspaper. Okay, fine, you're still at a five and you're looking. Now you're gauging product to product, piece to piece.
And there's no cookie smell, right?
Oh, yeah, and there's no cookie smell, all the tricks and trades. So now let's just say you decide this is great.
Yeah.
I like it, but it's is it really, let's go make a decision on this. Yeah. So now you go and you have coffee and you debate it back and forth and you say, you know what, it's open house tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's go back.
Yeah.
And if we really like it, maybe we'll put an offer
and
you know, we'll try a lower price and let's do that. Now, next day, you guys walk up again.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you look and there is 30 pairs of shoes on the front porch.
Yeah.
All of a sudden your anxiety goes from 5 to 6 to 7 and you think, why didn't we do something about this yesterday? We should have done something about this yesterday. We had this opportunity and there was no one here. Now we're gonna be in competition. And you go in to, and you open up the door, you walk in, the realtor's there and the realtor looks at you and says, oh, hi, you guys were here yesterday. And you're a little bit confused because all the shoes and then and you're looking, we were here. Yeah. We're just gonna look around again. Oh, please help yourself. So you walk through the entire house and there's no one.
Yeah.
So you went from 5 to 6 to 7 and now you're trying to figure out what this is. And back downstairs and you say to the realtor, what's with the shoes? The shoes. Oh, the owner dumped them out there. They're going to be picked up there for charity. They're going to donate those shoes. Okay, so now where do you go with your desire for
That's fascinating.
An offer? Yeah. So your offer went from, we'll try a lowball offer possibly, to we should have done this yesterday, to we should, let's before we go into that again, let's just give them the full price offer and move through this. So the value went up, the value went down, the value came back up. The house didn't change. It didn't grow a bedroom. It didn't get a new garage.
Yeah.
The product stayed exactly the same.
Yeah.
Your emotion set the value.
Interesting.
So we need to speak to emotion when we present.
Yeah. Hmm. I was reading yesterday, Professor Scott Galloway has his book and he was explaining Tesla. And he said Tesla was the a fascinating product in that it's been able to do what charity is able to do. And that when you donate to charity, you feel both luxurious, like you're a baller, but you also feel like you're helping the world, the environment, the charity.
Totally agree.
Whereas with the Tesla, you feel luxurious in a Tesla, but you also feel like you're good to the planet.
Yeah.
So he said it's one of the rare products that have done both.
Right.
Which is again, but both emotional.
And look at their market share. Look at Tesla's market share. It's monster.
Yeah.
You know, some of their products are selling, 80-85% more than the Chevy Bolt or the other electrical vehicles.
Yeah.
And which is bizarre when you think about the market share that the main three car manufacturers already have.
Yeah.
They have this market share. They have this built-in clientele. They have this built-in infrastructure.
And who are they? Who are the big three?
I would imagine Ford, Chrysler, Chevy.
Let's just
look at those three as an example, the big three.
Yeah.
Or we can throw in luxury vehicles, which is even better.
Yeah.
A BMW component, let's just say. Let's put that in there for a second. So they have all of this. They're the top of the, they're at the pinnacle. And then I'm going to start, Tesla, and we're going to build electric cars.
Yep.
And before I ran PayPal.
Yeah.
So we're going to do this.
Yep.
So they present it, into this valley of giants. They walk with their stick, they present, and they do amazing things.
Yeah.
And then we see the other three, the other four that we mentioned, coming out with their electric vehicles, but they're not getting traction.
No.
And one of the things I love, speaking of that is you see the advertising is, it's good for the environment.
Yeah.
You're doing a really great thing. You're saving the polar bears, but there isn't that, you're also getting luxury, as you just mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah.
They hit the common sense with, congratulations, you're doing something good for the world and for our climate. But they didn't hit the emotional button of, and this is smoking luxury.
Yeah.
And when I see someone in a Tesla, I know they're driving a luxury vehicle that happens to be electric.
Yeah.
Not they're driving an electric vehicle.
Yeah.
And that's the differentiator. And that's why they're doing so well.
That's amazing. Mm. So as you kind of have been doing this 30 years, are you seeing a change in how you operate and how you do this in the last maybe while and going into this next projects that you're doing?
Well, I'm definitely seeing a change in the way we're marketing and the way the big companies are marketing. We're definitely seeing them roll in towards more emotion.
Okay.
And they're running towards the emotion, and there's some that are doing it really well, and some that are doing it really poorly. And I'll just divide those in two and talk about that in a moment. the biggest thing is we're being bombarded every social media, every, well, you know, all the channels now that we're just dealing with information. Yeah. It's like an echo chamber. It's bouncing around. Yeah. So much commentary. So as a marketer, we're trying to, you know, get through this.
Yeah.
And when we finally do get some attention and some traction, and we need to grab some attention and make someone react and help them react and get them to react, the way that we do this is through emotion. So you're sitting at home, you're watching television and you're watching a show on something or another. I think in the book I talked about picking antiques, but you know, like it could be Forged in Fire, which I love that show. So you're watching Forged in Fire and you're sitting there and all of a sudden this ad comes on for, you know, Dove soap. Not that Dove soap would be on Forged in Fire, but Dove soap comes on. Now, they can either go, hey, this is Dove soap, we have jojoba oil and drops of moisturizing and that's why you should buy it. Feature, feature, feature.
Yeah.
Or they can come in and say, this is inner beauty.
Yeah, everybody's awesome.
Yeah. And this now becomes a cultural conversation.
Oh, yeah.
This is not soap, this is about inner beauty and how we feel about ourselves. Ta-da! Yeah. Talk about your socks. Yeah. How do you feel when they're when you're wearing it? It's not a sock to put on your foot. That is made of this many stitches.
Yeah, but Dove took it to that next level. Of like we talk about Dove now. We talk about Dove, you know, at the thing. Did you see that thing? And and even like WestJet. You know, we talked about WestJet after that. You know, every year they try to top that Christmas Santa commercial they did. I don't know if they'll ever top that one, the original. But again, their whole thing was illicit emotion around
Christmas
time.
Have you seen the new Airbnb? The new Airbnb commercials that are coming out.
About coming back.
And then they're showing the families, and this is where the past was made. This is where the new boyfriend was introduced. This is where, you know, became family. This is where, and it's just the pictures of, rather than, you know, there's 2,882 million, you know, Airbnb, and you can go online, and the prices are feature, feature, feature.
Yeah.
They've talked about the emotional component of this. They're on it.
And you remember it.
Absolutely.
I still remember this President's Choice commercial, and this, you know, when we still ate dinners together publicly, but it was someone had set up a bunch of tables in a hallway in an apartment, and just they brought, and it just so happened, everyone brought President's Choice grocery bags out there, and they all started eating together, and about the importance of like community and not being lonely, and it was beautiful.
That is so
and it,
powerful.
It's like but it burned it in my brain, I think, because maybe an emotion was triggered of it touched my heart.
Yeah. Compared to, remember that Super Bowl ad where they had the thing and they were herding cats instead of cattle? And it was, I remember it was very funny, it was very good. Yeah. I have no idea what the product was, I don't know. You just said President's Choice. You talked about their product.
Yeah.
You talked about what it meant and the emotion they were presenting. So if they live in that emotion and they believe in that emotion and they present in that emotion, going back to the earlier question, was, okay, once you've done that draft and you know what that emotion is, rolling it through the designers, rolling it through the advertisers, rolling it through. So at the very end, the product is, this is the emotion we are going to present.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to position ourselves.
But what about, okay, I want to throw this at you. You've probably dealt with this with different developers. The famous SNL skit with Will Ferrell, where they're in a studio and he keeps saying to the band, we need more cowbell.
Right? Yeah.
Christopher Walken's in there too, I think.
That's funny.
We need more cowbell.
I've forgotten about that. Yeah.
So,
so
when you go to a developer and you're saying, I got this great video idea, I got this great commercial, and the developer or the client keeps saying, no, I need more brand. I want more President's Choice logos. I need President's Choice logo everywhere. I want them to wear President's Choice shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you refrain from the cowbell call?
That is really a great question, and every situation is different. I believe this, whether you're pitching a developer or pitching someone to buy your hockey
sticks. You can't make them read the book, but like, just read this book, and then you'll get it, right? Like,
I'm going to read each page to you.
Yeah.
Every time you're presenting something, you're trying to not change how someone thinks.
Yeah.
How we think is born of a pattern of experiences and what we've got, what happened to you today on your drive to work, could you find parking when you pulled in?
Yeah.
These all roll back into how we think.
Yeah.
Okay, how we think is untouchable. Yeah. Read my mind, try it.
Yeah.
But I'll bet you can read my emotion right now. Mm. Pretty excited probably because of all the coffee I've had.
Yeah.
But point being is it's really, it's impossible to change how someone thinks,
yeah.
but you can change how they feel.
Mm.
So by going into what is the emotion that, in this case, the developer wants to present, what do they want to project, what is it important to them?
Yeah.
Let's talk, Mr. and Mrs. Developer, let's talk about you're the first buyer of this piece of property.
Yeah.
Why did you buy this?
Yeah.
And if they say, because I'm going to make money, okay, what are you going to do with that money?
Yeah.
Why is that money important to you?
Yeah.
Is it for status? Is it to get your family? Do you need a second boat?
Yeah.
What is it that you need? And so once you dial down into what it is they really want from an emotional standpoint, then you can work that back into here's what we really need our clients to feel.
Yeah.
The same thing you felt,
whether
it was, I believe when I first stood on this property that there were going to be people like the people that are my friends and myself that, that love this property, that look at this property and feel good about being here. This is the view that sold me on the first deal. This is what made me feel this is important. That is what we need to present. Grab that, bring it out, part of the draft. That's got to go out to our public.
So you essentially workshop it with the client. You say, hey, let's do a quick, let me just do a quick exercise with you. And if and at that point, are they often convinced then, like, you don't need to throw so much cowbell in it? So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't?
They want more cowbell no matter what, and you blew your hair out.
So what do you do?
Well, you just keep going at it, keep going at it, keep going
at it. So do you sacrifice emotion for the cowbell?
I would probably be a lot wealthier if I sacrificed, but I just can't. It's so important to me.
So you'll walk away from the project?
Yeah, or, I have done.
Because you're just saying, hey, I can't have all that cowbell noise in my project.
Yeah, being told marketing doesn't matter, it's all about dollar per square foot. It's like, no, it's how we present and what we present.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you got to go to the doctor and you have some kind of a something that requires an operation, you want a second opinion, you've got two doctors. One went to this medical school, one went to that medical school. They've got the same experience. They've done this. They've both done the operation 1,000 times. They're both very, very good.
Yeah.
And you just need to make your decision. So you go to the first doctor. That doctor is the features doctor.
Yeah.
And the features doctor says, okay, what I need to do is I need to slice you down the middle, open you up, spread your, and I have to get in there and massage and pull out the organs, and then I'm going to close everything back up and then sew you back up, and it'll be fixed. Okay, that's kind of gross, but okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go see the benefits doctor.
Yeah.
And the benefits doctor says, what did you do before you had this, this illness, this thing we have to do? What was your favorite thing to do?
Yeah.
Well, I love to dance and I love to ski.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because of this challenge you're having right now, you're probably having a real hard time skiing. Really hard time skiing. Okay. I've done this 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is once I'm finished, you're not only going to be able to ski like you did, you're probably going to be able to ski better. Because now you're older, wiser, and you're going to be better at this.
Wow.
And you're going to remember what you've done, so you're going to be a better skier once I'm finished.
Fascinating. That's such a great description there.
So we have feature, which is what we believe, undercarriage, seats the back, larger, it's so fantastic. And then we have the emotional benefits doctor, which is really how we're making our decisions.
That's amazing. That's a great description. So you can read further in the book. Where can people find your book? Amazon, anywhere else?
Amazon.
Just
Amazon.ca, Amazon.com.
Yeah.
And it's, that's where to buy it.
Perfect. We'll put a link in the notes as well.
No, great, thank you.
Kindle version as well. Audio version coming out anytime?
Coming out soon.
Coming out soon, yeah.
So
okay, you just have to dedicate a few days to sit in a room and talk for days.
Exactly, and improve my scratchy voice. Yeah.
That's amazing. And where can people find you online if they want to like reach out, talk to you, interact?
Well, it's morrisonwrites.com, so M-O-R-R-I-S-O-N, well, you'll put it in the notes, rights.com, and then I'm bill@morrisonwrites.com.
Okay.
And you know what I really, really enjoy is receiving emails from people that are in the business or thinking about getting in the business and talking about marketing and talking about what they're up against and any kind of challenge. I just floats my boat. I love it. And so any emails like that, emails like that, I respond back to. And
amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
And social media channels, are you on any actively?
Instagram and Facebook and those kinds of things. But do the morrisonwrites.com.
Okay, that's better. That's better.
That's the best core,
Okay, versus a DM in your Instagram, you may get lost.
Yeah, and I don't spend nearly enough time on those things. I'm too busy trying to figure this out and think about the next book and do all the rest of the things.
It's awesome. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is fun.
No, this is great. It's awesome.
All right, awesome.
Thanks for joining us this week on Marketing News Canada. We'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.